over a year ago, particularly for one of the revivals, I had two revivals scheduled for this week, this past week. One was in Somerville, Georgia, where I've been three or four times. And you remember that Pastor Lloyd Gilreth and his wife and his son, the babies all got COVID. And then they had several cases of COVID in the church. And Megan, his wife, was in the hospital for several weeks. And so we felt it best, he did and I did, that we rescheduled that meeting for March. But there was another meeting that was at the end of that down in a little place called East Point, Florida. And whenever Brother John became so sick, it became a question mark. And I called the pastor and told him what we were possibly looking at. And so just be praying. And then there was a little upturn and I thought I might would go. But I felt very uneasy about it. But then the next morning when I was praying, God laid a message on my heart. And I said, well, that, Lord, I thank you for that. That's kind of assurance. And so, but anyhow, you know, God changes things around. And so when Brother John went to be with the Lord on Friday, and then we knew that God had a plan, other plan, I was praying, Lord, you've got to give me a word for Sunday. And he said, I already did. And so the word he laid on my heart earlier in the week was what he wanted to share here. Now, for some of you who were here 7 years ago, I preached from this passage of Scripture. If you make notes in your Bible, if when I preach things, you'll remember it. But most of you wouldn't remember it if you didn't write it in there. So I want to share with you something God's laid on my heart for this morning. In the book of Job, if you will, please. I remember many years ago when our daughter went home to be with the Lord. God burdened my heart one morning a few weeks after that. I was up real early. And I read through the entire book of Job. And I learned a lot about Job I didn't know. I'd heard little excerpts of his life about the patience of Job and the faith of Job and all those things. But I learned that Job was a real man with real heartaches and real sorrows and faced real challenges. He was just like us. Sometimes he was way up here, but sometimes he was way down here. Sometimes he believed with all of his heart. Sometimes he went through question marks in his life. But ultimately, we know the end. We know what God did and how God blessed him. But one particular passage that points that up to us is in Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. I was thinking on this morning early, for 25 years now, I have been as pastor. So many of our church family, from young, very young, to old, have gone on to be with the Lord. I've done, since I've been here, funerals for the two oldest people I've ever done a funeral for, Brother Jack Langdon and his precious wife, Brother Bobby's mom and dad, grandparents to Robert, but I did their services not long after I came. And Brother Jack was 95 years old. And I remember seeing him no more than a month before he died, I believe, mowing the grass right over here next door to the store, 95 years old. 14 days later, I buried his wife. She was 95. And in all those 70-something years they were married, that 14-day was the longest time period they'd ever been separated. One time many years ago, she went down to her sister's down in South Carolina somewhere for just 2 or 3 days with some illness or a baby being born or something. And in the rest of the time, they were together 24/7. And then we had occasions to bury some very young people, be part of their services. And Troy was one of those. And what a sad thing. It's never easy. And a pastor hurts like you hurt. The only thing is, I hurt with every one of them the same. And God's been good to me. But I've been through some things, and Regina's been through a lot of things that we don't understand. And I'm going to tell you, the older I get, there's more I don't understand than I do understand. But the thing about being old is you can't remember many things at one time. But I'm like Job. I can remember a few things. And it's the things that are real that counts that we remember. I remember that He loved me and died for me. I remember that He promised me eternal life in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Barry was teaching this morning, and I kind of got an idea, Brother Barry, about a message. Things that's hard for us to believe, because there are, humanly speaking. I mean, if somebody dies and you see them 3 days later, I mean, just the natural man, you know, I know it can't be them because they're dead. That's hard for us. The resurrection's hard for us to believe. For me personally, it's hard for me to believe that He loves me as much as He can, because I know my own heart, and I know how I failed Him all these years, and yet He loves me like He loved His own Son. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. I'm going off on tangents, and I don't want to do that. I got to get this in. But notice in Job chapter 23, verse number 8. Job said this, "Behold, I go forward, but He's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him." But, Brother Barry said, you better watch them word, but. But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, some things I don't understand about what I go through and what you go through, but I do know this. He knows the way that you take, and when you've tried, you'll come forth as gold. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would help me, empower me this morning to be a blessing to your people. I pray, God, you'd use us, our Father, for your glory, whatever way you want to. Lord, for every man, woman, boy, and girl in the sound of my voice in this building, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that those who don't know for sure that they're saved, they might understand the brevity of life and the quickness of death, and God, that they would know beyond any shadow of a doubt that heaven is their home. And God, I pray for those who are believers, those of us who know you as Savior and Lord. We understand that we live in a body of flesh. We live in a corrupted, wicked world that's not getting better. It's getting worse and worse. And you said in the world we would have tribulation. But God, I'm glad that you're God and you're on the throne. And our Father, the things that come in my life and the lives of my friends that they don't understand and I don't understand. But Lord, we do know that you love us. And we do know that you won't ever leave us or forsake us. And we do know that, Lord, we one of these days will come forth as gold. Now, God, I bow before you and confess that there's no good thing in me, and apart from the work of the Holy Ghost, nothing will take place. God, please remove everything from my mind and heart. God, please don't let anything in me hinder you speaking to every heart here this morning. And God, I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You see where Job's at in this situation? All people talk about the faith of Job, the patience of Job, but Job said, I can't find him. He said, all this has overwhelmed me. He said, when I go forward, I can't find him. When I go behind me, I can't find him. To the left or to the right, he hides himself. I don't see God in all this. I can't understand this. Why is this happening? Why has all this come upon me? Job's like that. And you'll be like that if you live long enough. There'll be things you do not understand. You will not understand. And my dear friend, God has a purpose in every bit of it. Look with me, please, if you will, Job's dilemma. If you'll just turn right back to the first chapter of this book, a book of Job. And Job, when he comes to that point where he's at there, when the time comes, when the fire falls, when the troubles come, when the heartaches come, there are three or four things that can take place. But now, I've had some problems, but I've never had anything like Job had. Notice, if you will, please, I won't read all the words that come in before this, but the devil's come to make an accusation before the Lord, and he said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, well, I have, but you put a hedge around him. He said, if you'll let me touch him, if you let me do this, that, other, he'll curse you to his face, to your face. And God said, in his heart, he said, he's not going to do that. I know him. I'm glad he knows us. But notice in verse number 13, what it says about Job's life. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job, saying, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away, stored all of his animals. Yea, they have slain the servants, killed all of his servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped. One man I got out of that. All of Job's possessions are gone. And while he was yet speaking, there came another saying, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up sheep. Sometimes we can handle when the world does things to us, but when things happen to us that we don't understand, God does things. And listen, he said, the fire of God fell from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped. I mean, God sent that fire. I can't understand that. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I only am alone to tell thee. Oh, listen, you think about that. Man, he's lost all of his living. This is his livelihood. These were not pet animals. This was the way he lived. He labored. The Bible said God blessed the labor of Job's hand. He had accumulated all these things. He believed God. He eschewed evil. He loved God, was faithful to God. And all these things he had, God had given to him because God loved him and because God cared about him. But now in a day, he lost everything. In a day, he's lost all of his livelihood. He's lost all of the future profits that he might have attained from those. It's taken a long time to ever regain all of that, plus all those that worked with him and were with him, and they all died. Only three even servants left out of the whole crowd. That's a terrible day, but that's not the end of that day. Look at verse number 18. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughter were eating and drinking wine in the elder's brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they were dead. And only I'm escaped alone to tell. Oh, listen, he's lost his children, lost his sons, lost his family now. He and his wife are all that's going to be left. And listen, how does he react initially to that? Look at verse number 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Sometimes when things happen that we don't understand and great tragedy comes and heartache comes, God gives us grace to worship. Be able to say what George said, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. That's true of all of us. All of us have those occasions. My wife in Israel was going through great, I mean, she was just so anxious. She thought I died, and I thought I was dying. But I had an unusual peace about me. But I know I could hear her voice when she was frantically crying for somebody to come help. I know what she was going through and how just the loneliness and being there and Brad and April, thank the Lord for them. They stayed to be with her and to be in that foreign land and thinking that, and she really thought I was going to die. And you don't understand that. But even in times like that sometimes, when great tragedy comes, you can worship God. But look over a little further, if you will, please, in chapter number 19. Job worshiped God initially. When you come to chapter number 19, notice what it says. And he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. Though after my skin worms have destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, who I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job now is testifying. Initially, he worshiped, but now he's witnessing. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. It's been these chapters now, 19 chapters of his life, and so many things are going on in that time. But even now, he can witness to his friends, I know my Redeemer liveth. And sometimes out of those tragedies, you can witness. And when our little girl, Christy, went home to be with the Lord during those days, my brother next to me got saved at Regina's mom and dad's house the day we buried our little girl. He trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. God used that, and we were able to witness to him, and so many other people witnessed. And those occasions when heartache comes and trials come and fire come, we can witness sometime. But now come to chapter 23. Same man, same problems. But now he's not worshiping, and now he's not witnessing initially. He's wallowing. He said, I go this way and I can't find him, and I go behind him and I can't find him. I go to the right and I go to the left and I can't find him. It's almost like he's just going around and around in circles. And he said, I don't understand any of this. I don't understand it. But listen to what he does say. He says this. He said this. And all of those things are going on. But verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I'm taking, and when he hath tried me. Now that word tried is the word that's used for refiner's fire. It means to go through the fire. It's the process whereby you take a piece of ore, a rock or whatever, and you put it through intense heat, and gold appears out of it. It's in that stone, and you have to go through that process of refining it to bring the gold out. Job said, that's what I'm going through right now. He said, I'm going to go through this process, and God's going to do this. And he said this, he knows the way that I think. And when he hath tried me, oh, listen, here's his dilemma. He's going through this trial. But he talks about, I shall come forth as gold, gold. The first mention of gold in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 11. And it says, in Havilah is much gold. I found that interesting when I studied that verse, that the place where you find gold is the word Havilah. You know what it means? It means to writhe in pain. To writhe in pain is much gold. It's kind of, if this is the best illustration, I remember when I was a boy growing up and we had a dog and he got hit by a car and he was in the road and he was just going around and around and he's barking and biting at himself and everything else. And I went to get him and Daddy said, don't mess with him right now. Oh, he was in such pain. He was writhing in pain. Writhing in pain. Brother Barry was talking about, I'm talking to Brother Bobby the other day, and Brother Bobby Langdon's had, and some of you in here have had battles with kidney stones. And Bobby was saying, it's kind of like you're hurting so bad you go up the wall and up on the ceiling and back down the other wall and just kind of like that. And it's such intense pain. And he said, in that writhing, in Havilah, in the writhing of that intense pain, there's much gold. Much gold. So what he's referring to here is a process. When I go through this process, when I go through all of this, God's going to show the gold in it. God's going to do something. And so not only do I want you to note that dilemma, but now notice his declaration. I shall come forth as gold. Here you see his faith. Oh, listen, he can't feel him. He can't find him. He can't even face him. He can't even see him. He said, I couldn't see him. But he can faith him. He can by faith just claim the promise of God. I shall come forth. There's going to be a different day. There's going to be a better day. I shall come forth. He's talking about that process of the refining of the fire. And listen, let me say something about this, all of these heartaches and all of this fire that we go through. It's absolutely necessary. It's necessary. It is purposed. God never does anything without a purpose. In your Bible, if you turn to the book of 1 Peter, or either just make a note of it, if you will, let me share with you what it says in the book of 1 Peter about this process. And he gives this wonderful right here in the book of 1 Peter. And look at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Watch this. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He said, I'll tell you something that I know so. He said, God saved you by his grace. And there is an inheritance in heaven for you right now. And he said, that's not going to go anywhere. Know this, know you're saved. Do you know you're saved? Say amen. Amen. Do you know that you've got an inheritance in heaven that's not ever going to go anywhere? It's there for you. It's waiting for you. And he said, you know that. Know that. And know this, you don't keep yourself. You're kept by the power of God. I can't endure this. I can't go through this. But God in his power, he can take you through it. He's going to refine you. He'll take you through it. But now watch what he said in verse number 6. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, we are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That doesn't mean a solicitation to do evil. It has to do with a refiner's fire. He has a process going on in your life. He said, right now you're going through many trials, but he said he's working it out. Verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And thanks be unto God for that wonderful passage of Scripture. Who, having not seen, you loved, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. Thank God for that. He said, sometimes it's needful. I don't understand it. I don't know why things come my way, why they come your way. So many of our families have gone through times of heartache and sorrow, sickness, tragedies in their family. But God has a purpose. God's working everything out. Listen, God has a plan. He's working it out. And here, has a purpose. Let me remind you of something. The fire does not make gold. It reveals gold. It's not that process that's making it gold. It's already gold. It just reveals it. And when it reveals it, it's for His praise and for His honor and for His glory. All that I've been through and all that you go through 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, we'll look back and all through our life, He'll get all the praise, honor, and glory for what's happened. I can't explain it now. But Job said, I know this, I shall come forth as gold. And understand this, that this process is purpose, but also it is very painful. Painful. Brother Barry's been emphasizing to us in Sunday school the humanity of Christ. And when he came to Calvary and he came to the garden, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And when he prayed and his sweat was great drops of blood. He really felt the pain, the heaviness of sin, the burden of sin, all the battles that you and I would go through, all the physical pain that he endured. He felt every bit of that. And the fires that come in my life and your life, they are going to be painful, not only purpose, but they'll be painful. But thank God they are productive, if need be. If need be. God has a purpose in it. All that I go through and all that you go through. What is the purpose? It is to reveal that true gold to give God praise and honor and glory. You see, gold is measured in what we call carats. It came from a word many years ago. There's a carob tree, and those seed were called carat seed. And the traders would use those seed, and they'd put so many on here to balance the scale. It was kind of like weights that they use. And so when you come to gold, 24 karat gold is pure gold, pure gold. And he's working that process to bring it to it. It is very productive. Now, what does it produce? What does all this do? It shows the gold. I did a little research on gold some time ago. I found that gold, of course, is a very rare metal. There's a certain amount of it in the world, and there's never been any more produced since God put it here. It's rare. It was in, God formed it and created it in the very beginning. It's there. It's already there. God saving you, made you a brand new creature. The gold is there. The gold's already there. It's called a free metal. What I mean by that? I mean that when it is in ore, it's still gold. It's never been altered. It never changed. It may be hid in a stone somewhere or in a vein in a mine somewhere, buried deep or up on a mountain somewhere in that ore, in that stone, but it's still gold. It's gold wherever it's at. And the thing is, you have to go through a process to get the gold to be seen. So to come out for just to see the brilliance of it and the color of it. Gold, pure gold. Gold itself is non-reactive. It means it doesn't corrode. The space shuttle, all the instruments in the space shuttle were made out of gold because they wouldn't corrode. They've been up there for all these years. They're still working. because there's no corrosion. Copper will corrode and the others, but that gold won't. Gold, pure gold, is malleable. What I mean by that, it means it's very soft, very soft. In chapter 23, let me show you a verse, verse number 16. He said in Job chapter 23 and verse number 16, "For God maketh my heart soft." Job said, "All that God's put me through has made my heart soft." I would say tender-hearted. Going through the fire reveals that gold, but it tenders our heart to love people, to have a burden for others. And when you see children, and God for some reason or another has decided He wanted one of your children in heaven before you got there, you look at children different. You look at moms and dads different. Your heart is tender for them. God tenders our heart by putting us through the fire. Gold that's pure is malleable, means it's soft. It's ductile, which means it's strong, but it can be pulled to a very thin wire. And I found out this about gold. It is the very best conductor of electricity. Brother Joe Barry spent all those long hours working on the wiring, and he said he sent Jim a picture of the wiring. It was just a mess. And he repaired it, and you have that coax cable, and you have the copper wiring and all those things. And the resistance of the electrical impulse that goes through there is affected by the type of material it goes through. And the very best conductor of electrical power is pure gold. You say, "Well, Brother Billy, if that's so, why don't they use that up and down? Can you imagine what your light bill would be if all of those wires were made out of gold?" But you know how much resistance gold has to an electrical impulse? Zero. That gold, whatever sent from here to there, 100% of the energy of that electrical charge is received on the other end. When your heart has been tendered and soft and God's done a work in you, 100% of the power that comes to you can flow through you and touch other lives. God clears up. God fix me. God fix all of us so that your power might flow through us and be a blessing. Not only that, but I found that pure gold is the very best receiver of messages. I mentioned about the satellites, all those, when they send signals, whatever you're watching on television or wherever else, it goes several thousand miles up into the sky, and then it comes back down to you. Cell phones the same way. But the circuitry of those things, most of them are made out of gold, because they have zero distortion in gold transmission. In other words, whatever goes in this end of gold as a spoken signal or a light signal or picture signal, it comes out without any distortion on this end. And when God puts me and you through the fire and He's refined us to where we what we ought to be, whatever comes, He speaks to my heart, comes out of me, and it's His Word. And whatever goes through you and comes out of you, it's the pure Word of God without any distortion. God wants to bring us to that place. And God is working in our heart to do all those things. Oh, listen, pure gold has not only those uses, but I found that gold is very practical in medical issues. Some of you have arthritis and they put in cortisone shots and knee replacements and everything else. But I had a good friend, he's now in heaven. But the first time I studied this, I learned that there was a process at one time where they could inject gold into your knee joint and cushion it in there, and it would last for a lifetime, and you not have that pain, arthritic pain or anything anymore. The process, you can imagine, is very, very expensive. But when I preached that message, and the first time I ever preached it for Wayne Hargrove many years ago, I talked about those gold injections. And Brother A.J. Brown came in the fellowship hall. We were having lunch, and he was an older fellow then, older than I am now. But when he walked up to the table, he said, "Brother Billy, look at this." And I said, "Well, brother, that's a pretty neat trick. I don't know what it means." He said, "You know what that is?" And I said, "What?" He said, "It's an arthritic knee that I just fought going into a wheelchair." And he said, "I went to Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, and I paid a very high price for gold injections in my knee." He said, "I've never had another pain." And he said, "I have perfect mobility in it." He said, "What you say is true. That gold injected in there, it fixed me to where I could keep on going." And I'm going to tell you right now, when God puts you through the fire and the gold is revealed, He'll give you strength for the journey. You can keep on going. Paul said, "I prayed for the Lord to take this thorn in the flesh away from me." Three different times I pleaded with Him, and God said, "I'll not take it away, but my grace is sufficient for thee." Where that pain of that agony and that thorn was at, God simply, not gold, not metal gold, but the grace gold, He pumped grace in there. And He kept on going, and He kept on going. And you'll want to say sometime, "I can't go on. I can't do this. I can't face this. I can't go through this." But God's grace is sufficient, and He'll give you that gold of grace so that you can keep on going. You'll keep on being faithful to Him, and on and on and on you could go. Oh, listen. Watch. He's doing something in us. Notice not only that, but notice the promise that He gives here in this passage of Scripture. Verse 10, "But He knoweth the way that I take." Can I tell you there's a reason He knows where your way is and which way you're taking and where you're going? Because He said this, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." When I was preaching on the potter and the clay, and I was talking about those, that Jerry Finberg told me that the old time potters, when they had the kiln and they'd heat it up to that intense heat for that finish of that vessel. And he said they had a little hole there at their kiln, and they could stand and they'd watch that vessel. And when the glaze that was on it began to form and it became a skin of glass, and he said he knew exactly when the vessel was matured. He knew exactly how long it'd take and how much heat it'd take, and he knew it, and he stood there and watched it until it was mature. Boy, I was preaching that in a place, and I got talking about, "I don't care where you are, what you're going through, I want you to know He's standing there watching you." I remember it just like it was yesterday. I'd preached at Don Harrell's up in Bassett, Virginia, up in the mountains, and I was coming back down that mountain that night, and I was rejoicing in what God had done in the service, and I thinking back over about that potter and whatever I'm going through, He's watching me. And the Holy Ghost of God said, "That's not the rest of the story." And I said, "Lord, what is it?" He said, "You remember in the Bible about my three children that they throwed in the fiery furnace?" I said, "Yeah, I remember that. I remember when they were going through the fire and how the fire didn't burn them, and all it did was just burn their bonds off of them, and they were alive walking around." He said, "Remember the story?" And then all of a sudden it hit me. He wasn't outside the furnace watching them. The king said, "Look, how many did we throw in there?" And he said, "We throw three in there." He said, "But I see four. And the fourth is like the Son of Man." He went outside of the fire. He was in the fire with them. He was watching them. And whatever you're going through, you can be sure of this one thing. He knows what you're going through because He's there in it with you. He's there. He's there. He declares that He's there with me. He's watching me. But He said this, "I shall come forth." I want you to understand that what you're going through is not forever. You're coming out on the other side. I can't explain any of it to you, but I do know this, you'll come out on the other side. And Job said, "I can't find Him. I don't understand none of this, but I do know this, I'm coming out on the other side. It's going to be better. I shall come forth." All the reading I've done in regard to the potter and the clay and everything else, one of my favorite stories, two of them I'll share with you just quickly. One of them was the procedure of how the refiner worked in the final process. When the ore has been extracted and it's there, he takes the ore, and the fire doesn't make the gold, it reveals it. And it is free metal. It doesn't incorporate itself in other things, but other things can get in it. Think about that for a few minutes. Other things can get inside of it, but it can't get in anything else. But when he heats that final process, they said that what he'd do is he'd stir it, and it's in this real hot, extremely hot cauldron. And then he'd take and he'd skim off the top anything that was there. And he'd let it boil a little longer. And then he'd skim again and skim again. And then when I read on down through, I was wondering in my mind, well, how does it know when to stop? And the writer said, when he rakes across it and it's smooth and it's flat, when the potter can look over, or when the refiner can look over and see his reflection in that gold, is pure gold. His purpose is to reveal Christ in you, for people to see Christ in you, for people to see personal reference. I mentioned about our daughter Christy going to heaven. The day my brother got saved at Regina's mom and daddy's house, the day we buried our little girl, he came over. He spoke briefly for a few moments, and then he began to cry. And he said, Billy, I've been around here for 3 days. And he said, I've seen something in you and Regina and the folks from Calvary Baptist Church that I don't have. And I said, Howard, the only thing that I have, Regina has, or the folk from Calvary Baptist has that you don't have, is Jesus. God's going to put us through some things so people can see something in us that they don't have. And what they need is Jesus. Not us, it's Jesus. You said, Brother Billy, he said that he'll come forth. It's going to be over with soon, very soon. I was reading, and I've shared this so many times, but I love art. I love pictures. I don't know names and don't know what they mean. If it's pretty, it's pretty. If it's not, it's not. That's what I see. I love landscapes, and I love, you know, animal pictures, and I'm amazed. I've walked up in some places and art galleries and places across the country where Regina and I have been in museums, and you see it's a photograph. You know it's a photograph of somebody, but when you get up close, you realize it's not a photograph at all. It's a painting. Somebody with stroke after stroke after stroke has made that picture, and when you look at it, it looks just exactly like the person. Exactly. It looks like they just took a picture of them. Amazes me. Cabot and Susan's daughter can do that. Amazes me how she can do that. But I read this many years ago about a famous painter. You might recognize the name. His name was Renoir. His paintings now sell for, you know, almost priceless, billions of dollars. Crazy. But what most people don't understand, that his most valuable work and most precious works were done in the latter years of his life. He developed a debilitating arthritic condition. His hands began to twist. His body began to twist. And before they had any kind of medication at all for that type of disease, he lived in total agony 24/7. He could hardly sleep at night. He'd be up way before daylight, and he'd be in his studio, and he'd hold a palette of paint with the different paint colors, and he'd take a brush, and he'd dip that brush in a color, and he'd make one little stroke, and he'd have to hold his hand, and he'd sit there, and the pain and tears would roll down his face. He'd do that hour after hour after hour. One day, one of his friends slipped to the door of his studio, didn't go in to interrupt him, but he watched him as stroke after stroke after stroke, and he would weep. With every stroke, the pain was so intense, he'd have to wait a minute before he could make another stroke. And his friend watched him, and he walked up to him, and he said, Renoir, you're a fool. Why do you do all of that? Why do you keep doing that? And he said that Renoir, in a trembling hand, pointed to the canvas with the brush in his hand, and he said, one day the pain will end, but the beauty will remain. Can I tell you right now, Job said this, I don't understand what I'm going through, but one day it's going to end and the beauty will remain. Would you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning? I want to remind you, if you're a Christian, you're living in a world, you're in a body of flesh, and you shall suffer tribulation. There will be times of weeping. There'll be times of pain, sorrow. We're passing through this veil of flesh. We're coming out on the other side. And there will be eternal sunlight there, eternal joy there. What a blessing. For those of you who are going through suffering, Job said, he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. Job knew he was coming out on the other side. I talked to Brother Donnie this week. He found cancer a few weeks ago in his lung again. And we were praying. They did the biopsy, and he called me this week and said, praise the Lord, Brother Billy, there's no cancer in the lymph nodes. Just the one little small place, they caught it early, and they're going to treat it with radiation. But Don has been through a lot. But I don't know of anybody that has maintained his testimony, and people have seen God in his life. Brother Ricky Allen is here all the time. And we all know what he went through a few years ago. And Rick is faithful. Walks with God, loves God. I've watched him. I've seen the gold in him. It didn't make him gold. He was already gold. It just revealed the gold. God wants to get glory out of your life. He never said we wouldn't hurt. He never said we wouldn't weep. He didn't ever say we wouldn't hurt. He didn't ever say we wouldn't understand things, but he did promise this, you'll come forth as gold. There's a better day coming. But he made this testimony back in chapter 19 before he deals with this that he went through in chapter 23, and he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Can I ask you a question? Do you know him? Another personal reference, when our little girl died, and all of our church family was there, my first thought was, one of the first thoughts, I don't see how in the world anybody can go through this without the Lord. There'll be things you won't be able to handle without Jesus. But Paul said, but Job said, I know my Redeemer. Can you say 100% sure that you know him? Have you ever repented of your sin and turned from sin and turned to the Savior and acknowledged your sin and asked Him to forgive you and to save you and come in your heart? And was there a radical change? Somebody was asking me the other day about a friend whose life didn't exhibit the gospel. They were unchanged. And I don't like to judge people, but I just say this, it's not consistent with what the Bible teaches. Because the Bible said if any man be in a Christ, he's a new creature. If you've been saved, you're different now. You love the Bible, you love the people of God, you love the house of God. Have you ever been saved? If you've never had an encounter with the Holy God, you need Him today. But here's the good news. He bore all of your sins in His own body on the tree, and He was buried, He rose again, He paid the sin debt. And He offers to you free and full salvation. He'll forgive all of your sin, wash you whiter than snow. If you will but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Would you believe on Him? If you do that, in reality, He's going to change your life. I don't know what you're facing today, but sometimes we come to the place like Job. We go forward, he's not there. We go backward, he's not there. To the right hand and to the left, I can't find him. I can't see him, he said. But in that hour, you've just got to trust him and believe that you're going to come out. He'll bring you out. I promise you, he knows the way you take. He's there with you. He's going through it right with you. He's right beside you. Never, ever going to leave you or forsake you. He's got a plan. Maybe you want to come today. Cast all your cares on the Lord. The Bible said, cast your cares on Him. Maybe you've been trying to just figure everything out. Today you might want to just come and say, Lord, I'm just yielding to You. The prayer of our Lord before His crucifixion is so wonderfully powerful. God the Son said to God the Father, nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done. Yielding to the perfect will of God and the plan of God in your life, not understanding it, is a wonderful sense of peace. Acknowledging Him and faith in Him. But if you're not saved today, I implore you to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. In just a minute, Brother Brad's going to sing a verse of a song. I invite you to come. If you're not saved, there are people here who'd pray with you. Men who'll pray with men. Ladies pray with the ladies. Would you come trust Christ? Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I believe I obeyed You this morning. I believe, Lord, You put on my heart, and I believe You spoke truth to hearts. Our Father, I'm glad that You didn't save us and forget us. God, we're going through a process, and when we are tried, we'll come forth as gold. God, I'm glad that fire doesn't make gold. We're already gold. We are redeemed. Now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we'll be like Him. What a transformation that's going to take for me, Lord. That's part of that process, to be like Him. And Father, I pray, God, that this morning that You'd encourage Your people. Our Father, we go through times of darkness and tears and weeping, but that weeping only endures for the night. Joy is coming in the morning. God, I pray You'd minister grace to hearts. Lord, as people come to cast their cares on the Lord, as they come to bear the burdens of Angie and Jeff, Jordan and Jansen, of all of his family, we bear those burdens. We weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. I pray, God, we lift them up in prayer this morning. And then, Father, I pray that God the Holy Ghost, Lord, please don't let a boy or girl, a man or woman in here die lost. God, I pray, God, You save them this morning. Holy Ghost, God, deal with them. Don't let them leave here. Bring such Holy Ghost conviction they cannot move until they trust Christ. God, do a work right now.